answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
We'll note that more air traffic controllers and TSA agents and park rangers are about to go without a paycheck. You've got families and children that rely upon SNAP benefits that are going to go hungry here at the end of the week. You've got more critical workers, by the way, including the people who are the stewards of our nuclear defense arsenal, who are forced to stay at home as the government remains closed. The Democrats own every one of these consequences. So we want to point out a couple of important facts this morning for you. It's no coincidence that polling this week confirms that over 70% of the American people believe the Democratic Party is out of touch.
Yes.
And amazingly to us, still every day, they turn their backs on more and more hardworking American families to prolong their pain.
Yes.
And that is exactly what's being felt here.
That is exactly what's being felt here. As I've told you before, the Democrats want you to suffer. They want you to suffer. They want you to suffer. You're not going to have enough money for your food. You just have to suffer. Now, while Chuckie Schumer pushes peas around on his plate and cuts another bite of steak and maybe a little mashed potato go with it, I'm sure you're at the first of his mind. What are the poor people eating in today? Not much the way you're doing things, Chuckie. That was Speaker Mike Johnson pointing out that this continued Schumer shutdown is a strict political ploy. It's backfiring on them massively, but they still cannot seem to get unstuck. They have no off-ramp. How do we suddenly step forward and say, oh, our bad, let's go ahead and go forward with the continuing resolutions, which they have continually refuted, even though they voted for the exact same bill back in the spring. What they want to do now is they want to put more money in for everything we stripped out. Money for national public broadcasting. I'm sorry. If your child misses Sesame Street, give them something to read. They want to knock out everything else from transitioning surgery to folks in Zambia and treating women how to be women in some poor part of Nigeria. Give me a F and break. This is American taxpayer dollar. Money goes first to our country, our people, our need. And that brings up the other thing. They want to put all these illegals on your Medicaid, Medicare programs. And then they say, we're short money. We don't have enough money. Well, you know why you don't have enough? Because you're giving it to everybody that does not deserve it. Hey, am I sounding hot? Damn right I am. This is the way we begin every program of Larry Connors USA. I am like a bull out of the gate. You open that gate, here I come, baby. Because with Larry Connors USA, we're going to give you news, analysis, opinion, and education. You will know more when we finish this hour than you do right now. I can guarantee you. And right now we're focusing on this debacle that's a government shutdown that does not have to happen. It doesn't. They continue to recycle the same vote process, and the Democrats continue to say, oh, so bad, we can't do it because we don't have money for PBS, we don't have money for transitional surgery, blah, 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 blah. I would think the people would like to eat. Now, you want to be Marie Antoinette? Let them have their cake and eat it too? These leftists, and I say the leftists, they have hijacked the Democrat Party. Democrats, when are you going to show some cojones and stand up to these lefties? They are destroying your party. They're destroying our nation. Now, this is all good for Republicans, conservatives, independents, and even Democrats who realize that's the wrong side of the fence to be on. That's being in a pigsty. I don't want to live in that. But, of course, the very, very elite of the Democrat Party, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, Hakeem Jeffries, New York Governor Hochul, soon to be New York City Mayor Mamdani, they're living high. This does not touch them. Sucks to be you, doesn't it? Hey, in our next hour, a fascinating story based on a true event now. It's not fiction. A private investigator would join us about his detail of a man who shot and killed his family, his wife and his children, and the dog, if that's going to make a difference for you, and then slept with them for days. It's a disturbing story, but it's worth taking note of. That is later in this hour. And also, I would say that is in the next hour, later in the program. That's the next hour. Later in this hour, the story behind the story, the day that Larry Connors was going to find out if a bulletproof vest would really stop a bullet. I guess I have to point out here, spoiler alert, I'm still here. But what happened? That's the story behind the story coming up later in this hour. So Senator Johnson, again, is trying to say we need the Democrats to quit fooling around, get down to the Senate, and cast ballots.
It is incredible to us that they've now voted 14 times between the House and Senate to reject the clean, simple funding bill that would simply reopen the government. 14 times they have thumbed their nose at the American people in spite of their pain that they themselves have acknowledged. And as we've explained here, the motivation behind that is very clear. And this is why the polling is indicating what it is. The people know the Democrats are responding to fear. It is their fear of the most radical far-left voices in their party that has made them decide to obey the demands of the far-left and to shut down the entire government and thereby inflict all this pain on the people. And almost comically at this point, the Democrats are still out trying to convince you that this is somehow Republicans' fault. But the facts are the facts, and the American people can see that very clearly. They see the truth.
You see the truth. If you don't see it today, or you're planning to go to Grandma's house or have her come visit you for the holidays, you may see it then. Today there are 8,000 U.S. flights delayed because of air traffic controller shortages. A lot of them saying, look, if I'm not going to be paid, I'm not going to show up. Of course, that puts the onus on those who do show up. Suddenly, you're handling more planes than you normally would. And do you want to be on duty when there is a tragedy involving you mistakenly giving a wrong call to a jetliner and putting them in the wrong position? That's the kind of human error that can happen. And I'm sure some air traffic controllers say, I don't want to be anywhere in that tower the day that happens. And I told you the other day, and please, please, let's pray this does not happen. But this is the kind of crap that is going to end up getting Americans maimed and maybe killed. Maybe we'll get away with just a near mishap, a near miss. But sometimes a near miss becomes a catastrophe. But the Democrats, again, the minority House Speaker Clark and Congressman Coons continue to insist that, hey, we would do everything we can to help the American people. But the point is, they are using the American people as their prime leverage against the Republicans.
I mean, shutdowns are terrible. And of course, there will be, you know, families that are going to suffer.
Yeah,
responsibility very seriously.
Yeah.
But it is one of the few leverage times we have.
There you
just
go.
Sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip that started on the Venezuelan coast aboard this narco ship. The fake news said they were fishermen, but they were Trendaragua thugs.
Yeah, all right, I'm not going to deal with that. That was someone else joining in behind her singing about like a trip to Gilligan's Island. That was supposed to be Senator Coons. It works just as well because he's stuck on Gilligan's Island. Senator Coons is still saying also, we had this issue with people that are going to be going hungry. It's unpleasant, but it's worth doing because it gives Democrats political leverage. I don't give a damn about your political leverage. I care about Americans eating, Senator Coons and House Minority Whip. And as of today, we're seeing it's very evident the SNAP program, the Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program for truly needy families, not those who are on the government teat because that's the way they were raised and they just do not want to go to work. That's pushing a crisis point.
100% unequivocally, USDA does not have the $9.2 billion that it would require. There's not just pots of $9.2 billion sitting around. And what's particularly rich about New York saying that, or California, or any of these other blue states that have filed the lawsuit that say, oh no, we're going to go, you guys, USDA, go find the money, is it's their very friends, partners, colleagues, Democrat elected officials that continue to vote over and over again to keep the government closed. Again, shame on them. I cannot begin to understand what they're thinking. Even their own union, right? Even their own federal government employee union, I don't know the exact name, is urging their own Democratic leaders to open the government back up.
That is our Ag Secretary Rawlins saying, open the government back up. The USDA does not have USDA does not have $9 billion required to keep SNAP from running out. And they won't do it because it's their leverage. It's their leverage. And they're using it against you. Harry Enten on CNN says, the full weight of the belief in what is happening. If we're looking at Enten like on, you go down to number three on listening to reasons as to why we are seeing things turn, it is very clear.
Republicans control the House, the Senate, and the White House. Frankly, this is our only moment of leverage. And although a very unpleasant tool to use.
And at the same time, that was Coons pointing out then how bad it is. Number three on the Enten economy, when he talks about how bad the economy is and how the American people have begun turning away from accepting it, and they're not doing it. The American people are recognizing, and the polls show, they're blaming the Democrats, not the Republicans. All right, let's move away from that. Let's deal with your air travel. Those of you who want to go somewhere for the holidays or want someone to come to see you, it is not going to get any easier. Here is the airline president principal.
Today marks a big moment. For the first time, air traffic controllers will miss a full paycheck. The uncertainty is starting to take a toll. Just yesterday, more than 3,000 flights were delayed across the country. Some of that was weather related, but the DOT says as many as half those delays were related to the shutdown. Some controllers are calling out sick in protest or working second jobs to make ends meet. The largest union representing federal workers is calling for the shutdown to end so they can get paid. Here at SEA, you might see air traffic controllers handing out leaflets today. Their union says it's happening at nearly 20 airports nationwide to let travelers know how the shutdown is impacting safety and operations.
That's a reporter giving you a point on exactly how the air traffic is being handled at this point. Now, going from that report to Nick Daniels, the National Air Controllers Association president.
Day in and day out, that's now the life of an air traffic controller. The people tasked with making the impossible possible are having it made impossible by not paying them again. So the message is simple. End the shutdown today. There is no excuse that these hardworking men and women are showing up to do this job and to not ever know when they're going to get paid again. So we need America's help. We need you to stand up, and we need you to say enough is enough. in this shutdown and ensure that we can move this forward, because we do not want to be up here telling you the sad stories. We want to be up here telling you how we're moving this system forward, how we're bringing in more air traffic controllers than ever, how we're modernizing this system to, you know, serve the American people. So, again, I cannot stress enough, if you want to take action, contact your congressional representative and tell them, end the shutdown today.
End it today. Because in the meantime, the staff that's on board, they're being overworked. That is inviting disaster. Air traffic controllers are being quoted as saying, and I'm reading their quote from them, this shutdown makes air travel system less safe. Now, odds are you can make your trip and have no issue, except a delay. But the odds are increasing that it might not be such a safe trip. And don't forget, we got our military and what kind of pay they're getting. Treasury Secretary Bessent.
I don't know what good it does to summon them to the White House. This is a Democratic-led boycott, and I'm just not sure what they're doing. What's changed between now and March other than Chuck Schumer's poll numbers? And I think Hakeem Jeffries is now going to be primaried from the left, and I didn't think there was a lot of room over there. So both of them are worried about their primaries and not the American people, not the government employees, not our military employees, because we were able to pay the military employees from excess funds at the Pentagon middle of this month. I think we'll be able to pay them beginning in November. But by November 15th, our troops and service members who are willing to risk their lives aren't going to be able to get paid. What an embarrassment.
Very embarrassing. A private donation of $130 million was offered to help pay for our troops. $130 million. That won't really cut it. Vice President Vance said they're going to get some pay this Friday, but it's going to be way short of what they deserve. And it's only going to get worse. Democrats, are you listening? No, you're not listening. You're listening to the horde on the left who have hijacked your party. In the meantime, the U.S. Department of Protection Agency, the EPA, says we're having to furlough 4,000 employees. I thought the left wanted all the EPA people in place. That's not going to happen, and they may actually lose their jobs. Later in this hour, the story behind the story when I was going to test a bulletproof vest. But up next, Gordon G. Chain, China expert, lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
In all these years at Wellington Environmental has been my sponsor, I've never mentioned their duct cleaning services. Allergy season is here, and Wellington crews clean air ducts daily in homes and commercial buildings, also cleaning air handling units and diffusers in commercial facilities. Why? Well, because people will see black dirt and mold on the vents, or they are actually suffering from allergies. Don't be fooled by low-cost duct cleaning providers saying they charge only per vent, because once they get on site, the price will skyrocket. Wellington does not do this, never has. Wellington will give you an estimate, and you say Larry Connors, and immediately you get a 20% discount. Call Cindy. 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Make your home and business better, safer with Wellington. Be well with Wellington. Back pain? Follow me to Esquire Sports Medicine, where they've got your back. Esquire is the oldest sports medicine clinic in St. Louis. Dr. Draghi and his team of chiropractors can get you back to work, back to life, without the pain. New patients usually scheduled within 24 hours. 314-644-0885. 644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. Another day must be another roofer in town. And John, Bill and I were talking. You said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing. And the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Bill. John Bill Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. The offer St. Louis cannot stop talking about being held over due to popular demand. Right now, renewal by Anderson. Buy any window or door, get the next one 50% off. Plus, you could qualify for zero interest, no payments for 18 months. Renewal by Anderson is the full-service window and door replacement division of Anderson. You've trusted that name for more than 122 years. And our exclusive FiberX frames, 200% stronger than vinyl. Anderson products are also proven to increase your home value by at least 15%. Don't miss out. Schedule your complimentary consultation today at rbastl.com or call 877-WINDLES, 877-WINDLES. Renewal by Anderson. Award-winning quality, stronger windows, smarter investment.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My guest we've had on numerous times before, Gordon G. Chain, an expert on China. And Gordon has, of course, had numerous books published on China. Often he's a source on many of the major networks. Always glad when he can cut us into his schedule. His latest book, The Coming Collapse of China, the latest is China is Going to War. Gordon, welcome aboard, sir. Hello, Gordon. We had you. All right. We're going to reestablish for some reason. George Soros, I swear to God, if I ever get my hands on that man, I'm convinced he's coming in here and messing with our equipment on a daily basis. But Gordon Chang is an expert on China, as I said. He's author of actually three different books, the original Hello. Plan Red. Hey, Gordon, I hear you. You hear me, sir?
I hear you, Larry.
All right,
thank
good.
You so much.
Good, Gordon. Glad to have you with us. I'm sorry. I was pointing out your latest book, China is Going to War. There are several things I want to get to in advance of Trump meeting with Premier Xi tomorrow. One of the things you said the other day was that you were raising questions, does Xi even want to leave China because of all the shakeup in some of his own hierarchy? And for him to leave China, he might not be able to get back in. That's pretty startling information. Your thoughts?
Yes, there's clearly instability at the top of the Chinese regime right now. We saw this most graphically with the announcement from the Ministry of National Defense on October 17th that nine senior flag officers had been investigated and removed. And clearly what we have right now is Xi Jinping losing control of the Chinese military. Now, he has, I think, solidified his control among civilians, but nonetheless, this is a dangerous situation for him, which means he might not want to leave China, or he may not be permitted to leave China. Now, people say he's going to show up tomorrow with President Trump, and that's probably going to be the case.
In South
but
Korea.
We do know
in
that
South
there
Korea.
Is instability.
Yeah, that would be in South Korea. Korea. So definitely leaving China if he does that.
Yes. And most people think that he will. But I think instability is the watchword now for the Chinese regime.
That opens up another frightening scenario for the U.S. and America, the world itself. If he is no longer in charge, who the hell is?
Well, we know that a senior general, General Zhang Yaoshao, who is the number one uniformed officer, and who is also the first vice chairman of the Communist Party's Central Military Commission, is extremely Now, some people say that he is going to pick the next civilian lineup. That could not be true, but he is influential.
Do you see them becoming, quote, more westernized or moving farther away from us?
I don't think that they want to become westernized as we know that term. I do think, however, though, that we could see a reformer in China if Xi Jinping is somehow pushed aside. Xi Jinping is doubling down on industrial policies that look very Maoist. But a lot of people in the senior leadership of the party want to have a more reasonable economic policy, something closer to what most Westerners think China should have. In other words, to develop a consumption-based economy. So I think we could see a reformist, not necessarily someone who believes in Western concepts.
Would you consider China is still more of an agrarian economy or manufacturing economy?
Manufacturing. China has moved away from an agrarian economy. It has still a large agricultural component, but it is inefficient. And because of that, it doesn't contribute as much to gross domestic product as you would otherwise think. Remember, we have very few farmers in our country,
right?
But they produce a lot. China is, they've got a lot of farmers that produce as much.
But we use mechanical devices to help plant and cultivate crops. They're still relying on just the man in the rice pad. Am I wrong?
Well, what they're trying... No, you're not wrong. And we are able to mechanize agriculture because farms have become large. In China, the problem is that you have a lot of small plots, and so therefore you can't use really mechanized means of agriculture.
Okay.
You don't have the more sophisticated things that we have. They're moving in that direction, Larry, but they're not there yet.
Will that be part of the trade talks as to how they achieve that and maybe bring in some equipment from the U.S. to China? Is that part of the trade talk deal?
I don't think so. I mean, the trade talks right now are rare earths, soybeans, fentanyl. They're probably going to be Ukraine will be part of those discussions. And we are going to have some minor issues. But, you know, China can always buy John Deere's or Caterpillars.
Right.
And that has not been an issue.
All right, you mentioned Ukraine. That is a key point because we have China still buying oil from Russia. Is that going to come to a halt?
I don't think so, because China wants to keep Russia in the war. Now, there were intimations a couple days ago that the big Chinese state enterprises were not going to be buying Russian oil. But the big state enterprises have never really bought that much of Russia's commodity. It's been the teapots. These are these are basically independent refiners. They're largely in the northeastern part of the country. And the teapots are continuing to buy Russian oil. So this announcement was more symbolic than anything else. And it was really intended, I believe, to deceive the United States and others.
Well, let me ask you right there, since you raised the word, how much of this meeting with Trump and Xi is symbolic?
Well, the important part here is that there's going to be a trade truce. And that means both sides get a time to try to reduce their vulnerabilities and to try to build up their positions. And I think that President Trump will do a better job of that than Xi Jinping, because Xi Jinping is going to double down on industrial policy. And what he's going to be doing is building more factories, which means that China is going to be more export dependent, which means it's going to be more dependent on the United States, because we've got the world's biggest consumer market, for instance. 34% of global consumer spending is you and your neighbors. So I think that China's going to move in the wrong direction, and we will move in the right direction.
Well, CBS News shares your thought. They're saying that Trump expects to strike U.S.-China deal in meeting with Xi Jinping. But Senate Democrats say they're very worried. In fact, they're claiming that he is losing a self-inflicted trade war with China. And the Senate Democrats saying this effort by Trump is failing. He's already cost us significant cost on U.S. consumers and selling out American farmers. Your thoughts?
Well, first of all, Trump's trade war is not Trump's trade war. This is a trade war that China started decades ago, and it's been waging it with predatory and criminal practices. Somebody had to do something about it. And Senate Democrats might not like Trump, but they need to give him credit for trying to take this on, because we've had a series of presidents, Republicans and Democrats, who've talked about this but done virtually nothing. Now, in terms of whether Trump has actually waged the trade war effectively, and that is up to great debate. There's a lot of things that he could have done a lot better and a lot of things that he's doing now that are not in our interest. But nonetheless, give the guy credit for trying to protect the United States.
What is he doing that is not in our interest?
He's picking fights with our friends like Canada. And what he's doing is he's driving Canada into the arms of China. And China now could be more influential in Ottawa than Washington. We have what's called the world's longest undefended border. You know, we very well will need a lot of U.S. Border Patrol on our northern border if Trump further pushes Canada into China's arms.
Well, I would like to get you to sit down, if you would dare, to sit down with Fohanis, Senator Elizabeth Warren, who claims that Trump's putting America's long-term prosperity and security at risk. What's your response?
It's basically what I said, that the Chinese have been waging this trade war on us for decades, and they've got to do something. If you don't like tariffs, Senator Warren, come up with something better.
Nah.
But we've been losing hundreds of billions of dollars of U.S. intellectual property each year. And you, Senator Warren, have done nothing to help.
You know, I'm so glad you put it directly like that. You're going to complain, give us a solution, and you're not going to get one from them.
That's right. I mean, we know that China steals hundreds of billions of dollars of U.S. IP a year. We can argue about whether it's $500 billion, $400 billion, or $600 billion, but we're talking about big numbers. And I think Trump's tariffs, you know, in his first term, his tariffs were specifically meant to address this.
Yeah.
So if Senator Warren wants to complain, tell me how she's going to stop the Chinese from stealing our IP.
Gordon G. Chang, I suggest you follow him on Twitter, RX, at Gordon G. Chang, and stay on top of his thoughts. And always, thank you for your time, sir.
Well, thank you so much, Larry, and stay safe.
Yes, sir, you too. Coming up, the day that I decided to test a bulletproof vest. Did it work?
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Tom Shaw Realtors has been helping sell, buy, lease property all over Missouri for almost 100 years. Call him, 636-532-1922, or visit shawrealtors.com. You want the best place to watch baseball or any sport and be able to enjoy premium cigars and whiskeys? Lit Cigar Lounge. Lit has so many events each month, you need to constantly check the Lit Cigar Lounge Facebook. You don't want to miss anything. Plus, you can order food from Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta, delivered within minutes right to your table. By the way, we're in the season for great patio dining. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta has your table waiting. Listen up. The offer St. Louis can't stop talking about being held over by popular demand. Right now, renewal by Anderson. Buy any window or door, get the next one 50% off. Plus, you might get zero interest, no payments for 18 months. This is Renewal by Anderson, the full-service window and door replacement division of Anderson. That's a name you've trusted more than 122 years. Our exclusive FiberX frames, 200% stronger than vinyl. And remember, Anderson products increase your home's value by at least 15%. So make sure you take advantage of the offer while it's still being held over. Schedule your complimentary consultation at rbastl.com. 877-WINDOWS, 877-WINDOWS, Renewal by Anderson. This is award-winning quality, stronger windows, smarter investment. Back pain? Follow me to Esquire Sports Medicine, where they've got your back. Esquire is the oldest sports medicine clinic in St. Louis. Dr. Draghi and his team of chiropractors can get you back to work, back to life without the pain. New patients usually scheduled within 24 hours. 314-644-0885. 644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Don't know much about history. Don't know much biology. Don't know much about a science book. Don't know much about the French I took. But I do know that I love you. And I know that if you love me too, what a wonderful world this would be.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
It is not uncommon for a police officer to be chasing a suspect, possibly down a dark alley, maybe broad daylight, and the suspect is armed and turns to point and shoot at the officer. If the officer's fast enough, he fires and drops the man in his tracks. But sometimes he hesitates, not sure if it's a gun or not. I covered one story in particular over the years where exactly that happened. A young officer is sent to check on a burglary at a house. He's going down the back alley between the homes, and he sees a man in front of him jump the fence and start running away. He's running maybe 20 feet. The officer's out of his car and hollering, "Halt! Halt!" The man's back is to the officer, and from the back, he sees him reach toward his waist and spins around, and he sees something silver in his hands. The officer opens fire, killing the burglar, who was not armed. He was throwing away a camera he had stolen from the house. And I remember sitting with that officer and talking to him about it. He said, "Well, I should have waited. I guess I could have taken a chance. I've got a bulletproof vest. It probably would have saved my life." And therein begins the rest of the story behind the story. The Houston Police Department had decided to invest in a whole new series of police vests because some of the vests were not holding up effectively. Plus, they were hot to wear for the officers of the field on a hot, humid day in Houston. And that was true all across the nation. Officers often were not wearing their vest. And normally you could tell they were wearing their vest because they were actually wearing it over their uniform shirt. And then gradually they started putting them under their shirt. But it was still hot and bulky and cumbersome. And the question is, would they actually stop a bullet? The problem is, in often cases, the armpit around the bulletproof vest was an opportune spot for a bullet to enter and kill. And that did many times. Many times officers were killed. They had their bulletproof vest on. They were wearing it properly. But somehow or another, the shooter got a shot off into the armpit area, going right into the target. So they were working in Houston about trying to come up with some better bulletproof vests that would clench up tighter around the armpit area. And they wanted some that would hold up to numerous weapons, up to something like a .45 caliber anyway. .22s, normally they would expect they would be good. .380s should be good. And they were thinking it should be good for .45. And they were dealing with a particular seller. I'm not going to give him the name because it's not a matter of trying to put down the cellar. It's a matter of how the officers were using or not using their body armor. They basically are sold in two categories, soft and hard armor. Soft is usually made of woven factors. Kevlar would be a perfect example. Many of you have heard that. That provide protection against the bullet fragmenting and so forth. Hard armor, referring to plates designed to put inside the vest to give you additional protection. Soft armor obviously usually would hold an opportunity to stand along or be combined with hard armor. And that plate backing usually did do whatever the Kevlar faced, and it went through. Every officer I ever met that had taken a shot to the chest from a weapon, even a .22, and of course it would depend on distance, they were bruised and they were hurting for days. And the larger caliber, the closer they were, the larger the bruise and hurt, but they were alive. They might be out of service for several days, trying to recover, because every move was a deep breath and to suck in another piece of air before you made your next move. So when I got word that the Houston Police Department was getting ready to look at some new bulletproof vests and test them out, I thought, hey, I'm an investigative reporter. I'm going to go over there and I'm going to test that out myself. I mean, I'm going to put on the bulletproof vest and I'm going to stand there and have the officer shoot me. Are some of you out there smiling about that? Well, here's a spoiler alert. I survived the shooting, okay? How's that for you? But here's the way it was going to play out. We're on the range inside. And inside they had several posts anywhere from 25 to 50 yards away. Generally, a pistol, you're looking at 50 yards. That's a long ways for a pistol. Most incidents are going to happen within 8 to 10 to 20 feet maximum. The guy's running at you with a knife, I'm telling you, or a gun, and we'll come back to the knife in a moment. If he's going to try to get to you with anything to hurt you directly and you're going to stop him, they may get well within 4 feet before you end up shooting. They start 10, 12 feet away, but long strides and running full force at you, they're on top of you. You better make a decision in a hurry. And that's where sometimes officers have been caught in the fact that they had to face that decision right then. And they all operate under the principle, I would rather be judged by 12 than carried by 6. So they had these posts, and they would often put a vest up against the post, or they would put targets on the post, and that's what the officers would shoot. So I met the officer who was going to do this with me. He was, I honestly don't recall if he was part of the armory unit, or I'd talked to him and he was had access to the bulletproof vest, but he was going to show me what it looked like. We were shooting pictures of it, talking about it, how much stronger it was. It might have been one of the initial Kevlar bullet vests, I can't recall. Had no plates in it. And I was going to put it on and stand about 25, let's make it 30 feet away from him. The pistol was going to be mounted in a grip, so the officer couldn't possibly accidentally move his hand and go above the bullet, up vest, or below it. Oh, God, no, not below it, please. But it was locked into a vise. He would load the weapon. I would stand downrange, and he would prepare to pull the trigger. Everything was set. The photographer was told in advance what to watch for, how we're going to do it. And he was at a position where he was off to the side where he could shoot me in the forefront pretty much and the officer shooting the bullet. So he get the flash of the muzzle, and then my, because it was going to hurt. I knew it was going to hurt. I already accepted that. But I expected the bulletproof vest was going to work as designed. The officer loaded the pistol. I want to believe it was it wasn't a revolver. It wasn't a 380. It probably might have been something like an early 9mm. I'm not sure. Let's say 9. It was not a 45. That I would know. Because I know in the Marines, a 45, I mean, the ability to shoot somebody with a 45 and hit them, my God, they got to be within 10 to 12 feet of you. Otherwise, you can use it as a hammer to beat their head in. So I put on the vest. I stood in front of the post. The officer goes back and locks the weapon into the vise. It cannot move, so it was aimed directly as he sighted it at my chest, the center of my chest, and I mean the center. And we're talking to the photographer, okay, you ready? And about then the door opened, and a sergeant came in and saw me standing there and saw what the officer was getting ready to do, and I'm telling you, I cannot repeat the expletives that came out of his mouth. And I've stood in front of a lot of Marine DIs, and I don't think I heard some of the words from them that he used that day. It basically came down to, what the hell are you doing? Well, we're going to do a story on how the bulletproof vest works. Not with you wearing the vest, you idiot. Wasn't the first time I'd been called an idiot, but I was kind of upset because it was going to be a great story. He made me take the vest off. Put the vest around the post. Had the officer pull the trigger. Boom! And we got closer. It had found a small fragment in the vest that was not as intact as it should be. It was not just going to be like hitting my chest with a hammer and spreading the blow. It actually penetrated the vest. Whether or not it would have gone all the way into my body, not clear. It did go through part of the back of the vest. At least the tip of the bullet was visible. But there's more to the story when we continue.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
So I hear an out-of-towner asking someone, where's the best place to eat? Before they could respond, I said, Cafe Napoli. Where? Well, I said, Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C, and then you got Napoli Kirkwood, plus you got Napoli Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. You'll find Napoli everywhere. Not too early to book a party and buy gift cards. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now, the end of the story behind the story.
So once we took the vest off the pole and saw that it had pierced the vest and made a mark on that pole, I don't know what kind of damage it actually would have done to my body. But the sergeant looked at me like, I saved your life, kid. Yeah, he may have. The next test was, will it stop a knife or something like an ice pick? Because the vests sometimes were not effective at that. They could stop the rapid maximum pressure and speed of a bullet, but an ice pick might get inside some of the threads and so forth. Well, they made a determination that the bulletproof vests were adequate for officers on the scene. And I remember one of the first officers that got hit wearing the bulletproof vest. He had it on properly. He had it under his shirt because it was a lighter weight material. So it looked like he was just wearing a shirt. And it did save his life. But I also knew there could have been an area it could hit that maybe it would not have stopped the bullet, if not entirely, at least enough to save his life. And we're not talking about armor-piercing bullets. There's no clear-cut standard on dealing with that type of armor, full-body armor. Some of these are ceramic plates. Some are steel plates on them. And the ceramic plates are meant to crack and spread the force of the concussion of the bullet hitting. But I do know in this story behind the story that it is very possible if we had done what we were planning, I'm at a loss. I don't know whether to tell you that it might have taken my life or damaged me in some other way. Because there were times officers got hit, they had the bulletproof vest on, and it hit in the main center of the body, but it was devastating to their internal organs, even though it stopped the bullet. Sometimes it depended on the caliber of the weapon, sometimes it depended on the proximity. To the officers, the men and women out there who stand in the gap for us, between those out there, you need to, nowadays, especially more than ever, wear those vests. Don't even think of getting out of your car without the vest on. Tomorrow, the story behind the story of illegal wiretaps in the state of Texas being carried out against a U.S. congresswoman and others, and the wiretaps were absolutely illegal. No clear reason why they did it. Oh, yeah, there was. That's the story behind the story. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Bill Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Bill to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Bill has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Bill. You and I might have something in common, back pain. I can tell you where I go for help, Esquire Sports Medicine, the spine of St. Louis. They can put athletes back on the field so they can clearly help us. Esquire Sports Medicine, hands-on chiropractic help on Big Bend, just north of Highway 40. 314-644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. Great patio season to enjoy any of the Cafe Napoli locations. How about the Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield? Enjoying coal-fired pizza, nothing else like it. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. A few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge, where you can enjoy premium cigars and whiskeys. Check the Lit Cigar Lounge Facebook for details. Plus, gift cards for friends. I'll see you at Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as Support Dogs for Our Brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Larry Connors here. Is your home ready for the chilly months ahead? Renewal by Anderson has a buy one, get one 50% off window event. And if you qualify, 18 months, no payments, zero interest. Not sure if it's the right time? Renewal makes it easy. No obligation, window inspection. Just find out what new windows might cost when you're ready. No pressure, no hassle. And remember, no one but Renewal by Anderson can offer Fibrex, the proprietary window frame material, 200% stronger than vinyl. Means durability, efficiency, beauty that lasts every season. What are you waiting for? Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com and get your consultation. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service.
This is News Talk STL.